Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pop Culture University. I am Patty Emminger. If you don't know, I'm a famous TikToker, pop culture expert, Instagram model, chwunk, not twink, let's not get it confused, and ungaslightable baddie. Recently, I've been calling myself ungaslightable, and it has been life-changing. It's made me trust myself more and not take shit from anyone. So I would recommend trying to be ungaslightable in your life. It's kind of been my brand lately on my Instagram, my whole shtick. So if you don't follow me there, go follow my ungaslightable journeys. Anyway, welcome to Pop Culture University. The lesson for today. Oh, Pop Culture University is where we talk about what's going on in pop culture and try to learn something from it. Just letting you know, that's the tagline. Anyway, today's lesson is we are going to be talking about Tom Holland and Zendaya and how they were told their relationship was not going to work. And we're going to get into all that and who told them that and how they did not listen to them. And we're going to talk about Travis Scott and Kylie, how they're pushing along after the Astroworld tragedy and how Travis is trying to get out of his lawsuits. And we're going to get into all of that and talk about what we can learn from how Travis is reacting, which is a little disgraceful. So let's get into it. Welcome to Pop Culture University. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about is the fact that I just saw Spider-Man, what is this one called? No Way Home? Anyway, I just saw the new Spider-Man, and it was incredible. It was so amazing. Me and my friend went to the theaters, actually, to see Don't Look Up. We weren't planning on seeing Spider-Man, but Don't Look Up was, for some reason, taken off of the showings for the night. So we were like, okay, well, we're already here. We want to go see something. And there were two seats left for Spider-Man right next to each other. So we were like, oh my God, we have to go. And it was such a great film. I've never even seen the other Spider-Mans with Tom Holland or the past ones. And I had such a great time watching it. I totally got the plot. They did a good job of like filling in the holes, even if you really didn't know what the past plots were. But you can tell that the people in the theater who did watch the other ones were like super into it, and people were cheering and screaming, and yeah, it made me laugh and cry, and it was surprisingly so funny. Like, for some reason, I expected Marvel movies to be a little more serious. I don't ever watch them, so when I went and saw this one, it was like, I expected it to be like really serious and like action and like this superhero, you know, is fighting crime and blah, 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 blah. But it was actually just like really funny. Me and my friend were talking during it, which we shouldn't have been doing, but we were like, this kind of just feels like a cartoon for like adults. And we were like grown men just like this. And yeah, it was just so much fun to watch. It was so much more funny than I thought it would be. And it was like really campy and cute. Tom Holland and Zendaya were amazing in it. I loved seeing them interact now that we know they're a couple and everything. And I won't spoil anything, but it made me feel a whole range of emotions, and it was literally like a 10 out of 10. Like, I want to go back and watch the old ones. Anyway, let's get into what actually the Spider-Man producer said to the two stars, Tom and Zendaya, who are dating. The long time running Spider-Man producer, I believe her name is Amy Pascal, she actually told Tom and Zendaya before they started filming the first movie that they should not even try to date because it's not going to work out. Yeah, crazy. Like, how are you going to tell Tom and Zendaya not to date? That's, first of all, wild to me that she had the nerve to say that to the young love couple. But anyway, let's get into, like, Tom and Zendaya's relationship. Just, like, a little overview if you don't know already. So maybe you can appreciate this a little more. Okay, let's get into it. So Tom Holland and Zendaya, they have done two Spider-Man films together before 2017, and there's been a lot of rumors of them dating literally ever since the first film, just because people saw their chemistry, they saw them interact at premieres and press tours, and people just really wanted them to date. People were rooting for them. Something that really made people want to root for them is that Tom Holland, during, like, I think a GQ interview, where he was like answering questions, the most asked Tom Holland questions. Like, do you know the ones where they have the boards and they tear off the white stickers and answer the most Tom Holland questions about himself? He said that his first celebrity crush was Zendaya. And I was like, oh my God, wait, that's so cute that his first celebrity crush was Zendaya. I was like, I wonder where he even saw her first. Like, Shake It Up? Or maybe like, what's that movie? The Greatest Showman. She was great in that. So I was like, I wonder where he saw her. Anyway, she was his first crush. I'm trying to think of who my first celebrity crush was. I don't know. People always ask me this, and I never really have like a solid answer for them. I don't know. Damn. Anyway, what are your guys' celebrity crush? I'm sure you have one of mine. Anyway, there was a lot of like lead up to them actually confirming that their relationship was real. There was kissing photos in them July of 2021, which I'm sure you guys remember. That was over the summer. There was a photo of them in their car kissing, and it really broke the internet because people were like, I knew it. Like, confirmed, finally, they're dating. We knew this was going to happen. We knew they've been dating on the down low, like, ever since the second movie, and people just thought they, like, got them. And but Tom and Zendaya didn't want to reveal their relationship back then. So when it finally came time to, Tom Holland confirmed that they were dating in an interview only last month, only in November. And he said that even though their relationship is going amazing, and I don't know if he used the word love yet, but he said even though the relationship is going amazing, he didn't like how the public treated them in the beginning of their relationship. He said to GQ, he said, I've always been really adamant to keep my private life private because I share so much of my life with the world anyway. We sort of felt robbed of our privacy. I don't think it's about not being ready. I just think we didn't want to talk about it. That was in reference to the July 2021, like, kissing photos of them in their car. Like I said, the media storm was so crazy. It was almost like disrespectful. Like, after that photo leaked, I remember they were being chased like everywhere they were going, trying to get a photo of them kissing, interacting. There was like photos of them like in there through their window, like through their back door, the back gate. I was getting a little disgusted with how much people were going after them. So they said the beginning of their relationship was very rough. I feel like besides Pete and Kim, honestly, they're like the biggest celebrity couple right now just because they're new and their whole film is coming out. So there's a lot of hype with them. And they said they really did not enjoy that. And we'll get into why, you know, this has to do with the whole reason they shouldn't date in a second. But ever since they've confirmed they were dating, Tom did last month, they've been showing a lot of affection finally because the secret was out. And they've been showing affection on Instagram. Tom posted for Zendaya's birthday and it was super cute. He called her like beautiful and my love and stuff like that. And Zendaya posted for Tom a photo of him in like the blue screen room where they do the CGI for Spider-Man. And she said, my Spider-Man, like, some things never change. That's so cute that her cat name for him can be my Spider-Man because he's fucking Spider-Man. Like, my cat name for whoever I'm with won't be fucking my Spider-Man. It'll be like, babe, like, cutie. Like, you know, I wish I had like something cool to call them, but, anyway, and Tom calls her my MJ because that's like her initials in the movie. It's so cute. Anyway, they also had that really cute moment where Zendaya was like, I don't care if he's shorter, because Tom is like 5'8 and 5'10. And they were like kind of like poking fun at people saying that. Like, they're a united front, okay? Zendaya and Tom, you know, they're going strong and they're not going to let the haters of short kings get them down. People on the internet say they love Short Kings, but do they really? Anyway, let's get to why they're not going to last, apparently. So apparently there's a Spider-Man curse where I'm like adjusting myself. Hold on. Oh, talking into this mic is exhausting. So apparently there's a Spider-Man curse where every Spider-Man ever has dated his lead female co-star love interest. To name names, it was Tobey Maguire, the first one, and dating Kirsten Dunst. They were in the first three films. And then Andrew Garfield was dating Emma Stone, who were also in the first three films. And apparently, both of their relationships did not end very well. And they just did not last overall. So now people are saying, like, oh, there's a Spider-Man curse. Tom and Zendaya, even though we love them, they're not going to last. Toby and Kirsten didn't last long at all. Literally, like, I think less than 6 months. And then Andrew and Emma Stone. 6 months at the most, by the way. Like, it was short. Andrew and Emma Stone, they actually lasted 4 years from the time they started dating, but they didn't last much after the film series was over. So the producer knowing all these failed relationships have happened, she pulled Zendaya and Tom Holland aside when they started to film the first movie. And she said, I took Tom and Zendaya aside separately when we first cast them and gave them a lecture to not even go there. Don't try it. Stay away from it. She said, she was explaining how the whole like theory about how it's just better if they don't date and it's going to complicate things. It's going to make the movies worse if they break up because she's expecting them to break up and your life even outside the film will be hectic and it's not going to last with everything that's going on. So she kind of like got in their heads and told them, Jack, that their relationship was not going to last. And when it was confirmed, she later said, they all ignored me, the producer. She said, all the Spider-Mans have ignored me and dated their female co-stars, and she wished them the best of luck. But basically, they've had some haters in their path who said they were just not going to last, and she then gave them advice about how to make it last and everything like that. So I hope they take it. They don't take much of her advice, apparently, but I feel like Tom and Zendaya are going to break the Spider-Man curse. They've had so much history. Tom has liked Zendaya for way more beyond just the Spider-Verse. Oh my God, me being such a Marvel stan, I say Spider-Verse. Is that even a thing? The Spider-Verse? I don't know one other character in Marvel. Anyway, I know I suck at being petty pop culture. Anyway, what can we learn from this? Because we try to learn things here. I think what we can learn is that love is love. And if you feel it, go for it. Don't listen to anyone telling you your relationship is not going to work. People on the outside, even though people say like, when you're inside a relationship, you can have rose-colored glasses and you can't see all the toxicness from the outside and listen to your friends. I think don't listen to your friends. I think only you really, truly know how your relationship is going. And if it's healthy and you're happy, don't listen to people. If you guys are being a success, the only people that's truly knowing what's going on is the two people in it. So, yeah, don't be afraid to give love a try and hashtag love is love. Don't listen to people who are telling you your romantic life will not work out because it can. And curses are made to be broken. So that is what we can learn from that. Next topic. Okay, the next lesson I want to get into is with Kylie and Travis. So as you know, everything that happened in Astroworld went down. It was the biggest news ever. So you definitely know what happened with that. But people are kind of wondering what Kylie and Travis are doing now because Kylie has been very low-key. I wouldn't say she's in hiding, but she's been really low-key on social media, only posting a few things here and there to basically promote her businesses. And Travis has been completely in hiding up until his recent interview with Charlamagne tha God, where he basically denied all responsibility for what happened in Astroworld. But first, let's talk about them as a couple and how they're holding up after this and preparing for their second baby. So if you didn't know, Kylie Jenner is pregnant. She is, I think, in her second trimester. I actually don't know. But basically, whenever it's time to have a baby shower, like that's how far along she is. So Kylie had a baby shower for herself. It was at her house. No, it was actually at Chloe's house, and her whole family went. They'll probably film it for the Hulu show, so we'll get a little peek at how extravagant it was and how many millions of balloons were there and everything like that. But anyway, people were wondering if Travis went, because usually the father goes, and we're hearing that Travis did go to the baby shower. It's been one of the only places he has went since, has left the house. So basically, people were saying Travis went, he put on a good front, he did everything he had to do, and then he left. He was not there the whole time. Apparently, him and Kylie are just like hunkering down at home, getting ready for baby number two. Kylie kind of wanted this pregnancy to be more peaceful anyway, so they were probably going to stay home for the most part. Anyway, Travis really has no choice because he's been dropped from like every other job he has going on, as he should. So basically, Kylie and Travis are just spending a lot of time together and away from the whole world. That's why we really haven't seen them. And I think that's the best thing they can do right now. I'm not like defending Travis or anything, but I think it's in a wake of something like this, like, I think the best thing you can do is just be with your family and settle down and let them calm you down and then really think about like what you're going to do next. But especially when you have a baby coming, I think it's best to just be calm, lay low. That's probably what Kris Jenner is telling them to do. I wonder how much of Kylie's going to be on this season. Because while the Kardashians will confront their controversies on the show, they don't always do it quite in depth. So we'll see how much Kylie actually says about it. But let's talk about Travis's interview with Charlamagne. So Travis, for the first time, spoke to someone since the tragedy. Him and Charlamagne have worked together before. I'm not sure how close they are, but he probably just felt comfortable doing it with him rather than like Diane Sawyer, who would like rip him to shreds. So he did an interview with Charlamagne the God, and Charlamagne asked him really every question we wanted to know. So shout out to Charlamagne. The interview was great. But through the whole interview, Travis just kind of denied any responsibility for what happened in Astroworld, and people were hoping he would do the exact opposite. But that is unfortunately not what happened. I wasn't that surprised, but here are the three biggest ways Travis denied responsibility. The three things that he said that really stuck out to me, and the three biggest blames that he relieved himself of. So first, he said, when it came to the screaming fans in the crowd, you know, everyone in the crowd was screaming for him to stop the show. People were on the floor. People were unconscious. People were dying. He said he didn't hear them at all. He said he had in-ears in. He was hearing playback. He could really only hear, you know, the white noise of the crowd. He had no idea what they were saying. Oh, okay. I guess I can accept that. Obviously, we don't know what it's like to perform in front of a crowd of 50,000 people. So, but that's what he said. He said he just fully did not hear them. Unfortunately, no one notified him, he said. So he kind of said, like, how could he, you know, even hear anyone? Next, he said, when it comes to the fact that he has encouraged raging at his shows before, quotes, he would always say the word raging. And Travis Scott shows have had a bad rep for people not feeling safe, or Travis even got arrested for breaking safety guidelines at one of his concerts before. So he said raging to him, he said he didn't really feel like he encouraged raging to the level that happened at Astroworld, because to him, raging just means having a good time and going hard, but also making sure each other are safe and loving each other while having a good time at the concert. He literally said raging means looking out for people around you while having a good time. That is such an excuse to me, because he never like specified that, you know, in his tweets before. When he was talking about raging before, he literally was like, break down the barriers, like get as close to the stage as you can, go as hard as you can. He encouraged people to like break through the ticket lines, gates, at Astroworld, and people did that and people got trampled then. So I absolutely not, Travis, absolutely not. So that, I'm not on his side at all. Can't really defend him there. Third thing he said is that it's kind of Live Nation's fault because they were understaffed and they needed to control the crowd. He said he could control what's going on the stage. They need to control what's going on off the stage. And I agree that Live Nation needs to be held responsible as well. But I think if, you know, he really means that he thinks that raging is about loving each other and taking care of each other, and he really like loves his fans, that I think he is also a little responsible for what's going on in the crowd and keeping his crowd safe. And while there were a lot of people there and maybe he couldn't hear them, he could have just done more to make sure the crowd was okay after he saw how hard they were going and after he saw the ambulances, which he also said he didn't think the ambulance lights were ambulance lights. He said he thought they were something else. He said that he thought they were like a spectacle for the crowd, because there was a lot of like you know, structures built there and festivities for people to look at and take pictures by, so he thought it was like that apparently. So he just said Live Nation needed to take care of what was going on in the crowd. So with all that being said, it has come out that Travis is trying to get out of his billions of dollars of lawsuits, because it is in the billions now. Lawyers have said that Travis Scott is issuing a general denial, which basically means that it's a legal term in civil suits that allows one to submit one blanket response to all the allegations against them. So basically, he's putting out like a lawsuit that is going to combat every single allegation against him, because they are all very similar. TMZ said, in other words, Travis is making it clear that the deaths and injuries are not his responsibility, and he's asking the judge to toss the suits against him and his entities. Travis is planning to issue a similar response for every civil suit against him, and there are a lot. So basically, Travis not only verbally denies responsibility, but now he's trying to lawfully get out of being held responsible for everything that happened in Astroworld, which I think is just insanely disgraceful. I understand not wanting to pay that much money, and it would be nice to have his name cleared, but at the end of the day, we all know he is responsible, and I think he should take responsibility. And I can't believe he's even trying to get out of every single lawsuit. I could see maybe him trying to work something out where the fine or the punishment is less, but the fact that he's trying to like get them thrown out is just insane. So what can we learn from this going on with Travis? I think take responsibility for your mistakes. I get this is like a monumental, huge, tragic mistake, but I think he still, just for the sake of everyone affected and for his soul, I think he should take responsibility. Like, he's rich, like Kylie's rich. The money seems to be a really important factor for him. Maybe that's why he doesn't want to hold himself accountable, but it looks like him not taking responsibility looks even worse than him creating an unsafe environment, in my opinion. So I think he should take immense responsibility. And what we can learn is just we should take responsibility for ourselves, because it's really embarrassing when we don't. So we need to hold ourselves accountable for things and just try to do better in the future. It can be a little embarrassing taking responsibility for mistakes, and consequences suck, but I think at the end of the day, that's the most productive, respectful thing to do. So everyone has been shitting on him since this has come out, and well deserved. So to avoid people shitting on you for rightful reasons, I think you should learn to take responsibility for yourself. That is the lesson that goes along with that. So that's it. I hope that you'll make it back home soon. Okay, well, thank you for tuning in to Pop Culture University today. I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Let's review what we learned. Sorry, I just burped. I get why Wendy Williams did that on her show a lot. Anyway, from Tom and Zendaya, we learned that don't let anyone intrude on you and your relationship and your true love. I think you should just keep it between you two, and love is love, and don't let anyone stop you from pursuing happiness and love. And yeah, that was what we learned from that. And with what Travis said, we learned to majorly take responsibility for yourself. And that is a very powerful sentence. Take responsibility for yourself. So I'm just going to leave it there. That's what we learned today. Thank you for tuning in. Please tune in tomorrow. I'm not perfect. I may not make an episode, but I'm definitely going to at least make 3 a week at the same time. So at noon, I think. So tune in then. Thank you for tuning in. And make sure to rate this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Or I think on Spotify you follow it, and then Apple Podcasts you rate it. So do that. And yeah, I appreciate you. I hope you have the best day ever. And I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.